about you, John Lennon?
I remember not just John, but the whole Beatles. I think the first big song that hit the U.S. was I Want to Hold Your Hand, and it was so different from everything else. I was in a fraternity in North Carolina, and we put it on the jukebox, and I remember the I think we went through about five cases of beer celebrating the new Beatles.
Yeah.
So I've been a big fan ever since.
Gordon Matheson, the artist extraordinaire, and along with Rebecca Chapman from the Grenning Gallery this year for their third annual, and Laura Grenning joins us as well. Laura, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
John Lennon memories?
Gosh.
Not much, huh?
I remember my first memory of the Beatles was the headlines that they were breaking up.
Okay. But this is so, in fact, a lot of the music we've been focusing on is John Lennon later, so yeah. After the Beatles.
Yeah, my daughter was actually at CMEE, you know, the Children's Museum, and they sang Imagine, which is a beautiful song that I think he wrote later on.
He did, yeah.
And I actually have the lyrics taped to my refrigerator, because it's a very beautiful thing.
And it's an anthem. Your daughter was singing it.
Yeah.
It's really become an anthem for generations.
Yeah.
And Casey Anderson, good morning to you. Welcome.
Hi,
speaking
hi.
Of artists extraordinaire, get close to that microphone, Casey. And how about for you?
I definitely have memories all through growing up about the Beatles. But when I was just listening to that song, Starting Over, the strong image that came through was that photograph of John and Yoko on the cover of Rolling Stone, where he's kind of curved around her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That fetal position,
yeah,
almost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that song, somehow I heard like this kind of tenderness that came out. He's very personal and really put it out there.
Yeah.
Without, you know, unique.
One of the things that we did earlier this last hour was talk with Yoko Ono about John Lennon as a visual artist. Were you surprised to learn that he also was a visual artist, Gordon?
I'm surprised they're still selling his stuff. I read into Ed Callahan a couple of days ago, and he told me I asked him if he was going to be at our opening this weekend, and he said he was going to be with Yoko in the city.
Yep.
With
a traveling art show.
Something with the show. I forget. It was a benefit for someone.
Imagine Peace. Exactly, yeah. So what do you all imagine with Plein Air Peconic? Gordon, how did this get started?
Well, we imagine that as much beautiful land as we see around here will still be here, you know, in 20 years and 40 years. And when Laura's daughter grows up and has children, that they'll have just as beautiful place as Laura has now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the goal that the Peconic Land Trust has been working to since John started it, John Halsey. And we do all we can to help them, as little as it is, but it's been fun.
How little is it? Come on. You've had great response to these each year, yeah?
Well, how much we've helped, we'll let Rebecca say. But it's been, as the artists, from our point of view, we've got to go to a lot of places that we probably wouldn't have even seen before, as well as to a lot of their preserves. That like Quail Hill that they actually own, and you know, the public can go there.
And how does this work, Rebecca? Do you actually commission these artists to go out and assign them different places to paint or to photograph?
No, they really have identified a lot of different places that they would like to bring their paints to, and we try and accommodate that with the usually the homeowner, the person that still owns the land. And I think if you're talking about Imagine, these beautiful paintings really help people imagine these places. And it's also another level of preservation and conservation, and it has done so much to tell our story. And these artists are just getting better and better, and really, really absolutely beautiful how they convey preservation and conservation on the east end of Long Island.
Casey Anderson, I noticed that in the flyer that's being sent around for Plein Air Peconic 3, that I believe one of your paintings is of a salt marsh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and describe this for our listeners. It's always difficult with radio.
Oh, it's a very special place that really made me fall in love with this area and make me want to live here. It's Todd Point Road in North Sea, part of Southampton, which is this land spit, sandy land spit that comes out with water on both sides, ending up on the Little Peconic Bay. And it's constantly changing. The grasses are growing and receding, and the tides are changing. So, and it's also an area, because there's a big expanse, you have a huge sky overhead, so that you have a chance for the sky to, all kinds of cloud formations and changes in color. It's one of my favorite places.
And you say it actually helped prompt you to move here?
Well, it did, because...
Go ahead.
It did because my father has a place over there. So I spent a lot of time there.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from New York City.
Okay.
But at the time I was living in the Bay Area of San Francisco, because I went to school out there. And I was thinking about maybe moving here. I really didn't know what I was doing. But I got lucky. It was the right place for me because it's so beautiful, and it really changed my art. I was a painter then who did really all figurative work at the time. But once I moved here, I just was absorbed by the landscape.
Wow. Is it almost, as an artist, do you consider it an expansion in your art when you move from figurative work to landscapes? Is that expanding your horizons?
Well, I'm actually going the reverse. I started with landscapes and then play around with figurative work now, because actually I started painting just because I love the landscape out here so much. I spend so much time walking and riding my bike and driving around. I wanted to be able to take some of it home with me.
So, but now you're doing more figurative work, Gordon?
Just adding
here
more
and there, yeah?
figures. In Laura's gallery right now, I've got a painting with 10 cows in there.
the four-legged figures. I love that.
One of the people that work in her gallery, Cindy, is like a cow expert, so she set a prep to me for what I was looking
Kansas.
Forward to.
She's our Midwestern vote.
So I really had a lot of fun doing that, and the brochure here has actually got is my painting. That's a picture of Casey.
Casey
painting it in the dunes down near the ocean. That she and I were there.
Much to my surprise, I had no idea.
You didn't know?
No, not until I saw it.
What are you wearing? You're wearing like this white outfit.
White pants and
this
a white tie.
This is so cool. Laura Grenning, speaking of the Grenning Gallery, this is the first year that it's at the Grenning Gallery. What made you decide to, you know, connect with these folks?
Well, so many of our interests and our passions align, and Gordon and a lot of the painters, the plein air Peconic painters, come to the gallery almost every opening. They're all familiar faces and certainly first names. And I didn't really realize...
But how about their artwork?
I didn't realize how well they were painting. I have such a kind of narrow focus on in what I do. But the other thing is that the local landscape and protecting the beauty out here, it is a charity that I've been a part of with the Meshamek and the Nature Conservancy on Shelter Island, because I lived there for 12 years and I walked in Meshamek every day. But Peconic Land Trust is even more locally homegrown version of that. And I like to do what I can for them. And it just seemed to be like a win-win-win idea that Gordon brought to me almost a year ago or nine months ago. And I'm really honored at the effort that these painters went to, because there's a couple things that needed to shift, like the framing. For some reason, it's a real bugaboo for me. It's my little pet peeve. And these guys really made a big effort. And I think because of that, they made the paintings that I had to pick from were incredible. It was very hard, because I don't know how many total artists there are.
12.
There's 12 total, and everyone had 8 to 10 pieces, and that's too many for the gallery, so I had to curate out of that, and it was tough to whittle it down to 4 pieces.
And when you curate, you look for balance, I would think, in what you're hanging?
You know what? I don't.
You don't?
I just pick good paintings. the best. You know, I'm not, you know, it's so funny because painters from all over ask me, oh, what's selling or what do you want? And it's that je ne sais quoi, you know, you just, it's a good painting. Somebody's going to want to own it if it's a good painting. And the subject matter is really beside the point.
You're kidding.
That's my view.
Because everybody says, oh, landscapes sell beyond, over and above anything, right?
Well,
but not necessarily.
No, good paintings sell. Now we're
lucky. Is anything selling in the midst of this, you know, financial crisis?
You know, touch
Laura
wood.
Has more good paintings than most galleries. she maybe has a different take on it because she
maybe.
Does have so many good.
And are you selling? Are things selling?
You know, touch wood.
Yeah.
My year this year is double last year. I don't know.
See, here's the good news that we're not hearing about, right?
It's luck and it's also we're kind of firing on all cylinders, and I've got two people working in the gallery with me that are really game on, and the combination, we're just all, it's kind of a humming thing this year. I think with the plein air Peconic, you know, it's great when that's happening in the gallery, and then you're able to provide a venue for a local charity, and you're also able to have, you know, 12 local artists showing their best stuff. So it's exciting.
But it's also good that it's quality work, as you're saying.
It's super quality, and I'm very impressed. And the photography, see, I don't usually show photography.
Yeah, you don't.
They're beautiful. Really beautiful work.
Who are the photographers, Gordon, in this exhibit?
It's Tom Steele and Catherine Zoka and Ellen Watson.
Yeah.
We know all those. Catherine
also has a show going on over at the Bridgehampton Historical Society.
Vanishing Landscapes, is the exhibit. And let me quote from earlier this morning. We spoke with the co-author of a new book called Today's Botanical Artists. And in the essay from the book, she writes, "These artists are further united by a concern that the species and habitats they portray are vanishing." And I would say that more than anything unites plein air Peconic, right, Gordon?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And is that what prompted you really initially to even start painting? Because you saw things vanishing?
Actually, that prompted me more to get involved with the
Peconic
land conservation.
Trust. Were you the one who initially contacted Rebecca?
No, I was doing a show in East Hampton with my friend Cornelia Dodge, and Rebecca came, and she saw that I had done a lot of paintings on local farms, many of which, like the Wesnoskis, were very involved with Peconic Land Trust. I lived right around the corner from them. I saw them out my window every morning, you know, out in the fields. So that was how I got involved from Rebecca coming up to me at the show.
So Rebecca, how do the folks at Peconic Land Trust feel about all of a sudden being in the art business?
Well, it was really an extension of what we were already doing. And I have to quote Paul Goldberger in his new book, who really talks about all of the conservation groups out here. And if it wasn't for the conservation groups, it would be a totally vanishing landscape. And it is still in a very, it's still very, very fragile. Because the land trust stays, if we can, one step ahead of developers. And so we really try and work with families to conserve what is left. And so this was another opportunity to reach a totally different constituency.
And have you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In what ways?
Well, these are people that are interested in art. What Laura was saying, quality sells, and beautiful paintings will continue to sell. Peconic Land Trust will do very well.
Yeah, how much of the proceeds will go to Peconic Land Trust here, or the artists? How is it divided up?
Well, we don't really publicize the amount, because Rebecca always says it's not about how much money you give me. It's more about the information about the Peconic Land Trust
message
that we spread, and the message. But we always not just for the opening, but the whole run of the show. They get a percentage. The gallery owner also, in this case, Laura, also gives the same percentage of their part. And if after the show is over, if I sell something or the other artists do, we also would give a percentage.
I thought it was so important if we entered into an arrangement with the artist that it was a symbiotic relationship. I feel that the artists very often are so taken advantage of out here. They're asked by the nonprofits, give a painting for this, give a painting for that.
You get that constantly, Casey and Gordon?
You would think we were the billionaires.
and that's,
now, wait, I think many people think that. They assume if you're a painter, an artist, that you are.
That you can afford to give it
exactly.
away.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, being involved with the Peconic Land Trust, and we've been so busy this each year more and more in terms of how many shows we're having and different events that we're doing, it's, you know, I still do a couple of things for charities that I've done in the past that, you know, you just stay by because you've done it for a long time. But this has really been the focus. Mm. And so you can't do everything.
Yeah, I think people at large don't understand how ridiculous it is for someone to sit for 3 hours in a field and make a painting. It's like, it does not
no,
fit
I think
into
people
the day.
Understand that that's ridiculous.
Well, but most people don't realize that, you know, and all of my painters, not just the plein air Peconic, they see something that's very beautiful. And in many cases, they'll spend 4 or 5 years figuring out how to paint it.
Yeah.
So they'll go to school and train for years so that when they do have those 3 hours in that afternoon, you know, 10 years later, that they can capture that image onto a two-dimensional plane that will vibrate for the person that's looking at it, you know, 10 or 20 or 100 years later.
Yeah.
Now, this makes no sense in our modern economy, and especially with what's going on right now. The interesting thing is that painting is still beautiful, whether you paid $2,000 for it or $200 for it or $200,000 for it. That number is quite nominal if you go forward 100 or 200 years. And I would say the same is true for the land that they're trying to protect. It is gorgeous, and it needs to be protected, whether it's $2 million, $200,000, or $20 million. And now we know, given what we've experienced in the last 3 weeks, that the nominal value of that dollar in your hand, there's a big question as to what that's worth. There's no question what these landscapes are worth. In person and also visually on canvas.
We agree that that's priceless. The landscapes are priceless, and in many ways, the art that is inspired by it is priceless. But speaking of price, are these affordable?
Well, in fact, that's the other great thing. As the paintings were coming in, these are professional local artists that already have markets and prices because they're showing in various places over many years. And I was delighted to see that a lot of the paintings are under $2,000. Mm-hmm. And that for a professional painter's work is a great price. For my gallery, it's a great price for these works. And the other thing is photography. Because they can make, I think they're limited editions, 8 to 10, they can sell them for much better prices than it would be for a painting that size. So there's some pretty nice size 18 by 25 or 24 inch photographs that are you know, under a couple thousand.
And I would think that it makes it a bigger sell knowing that you're also helping to support the preservation of the land, Rebecca.
Oh, absolutely. And in addition to the paintings, for those people that maybe are not up to paying $2,000, we have a beautiful calendar that will be available at the gallery.
Nice.
Which really is something very special. And we actually have stationery with some of the paintings.
Great.
And maybe next year we'll have a beautiful, beautiful book out that features the artists and the landscapes of the East End.
Well, this is going on through this Columbus Day weekend, right? So, Gordon, would you give us the details?
It's opened yesterday, actually. The reception is Saturday, the 11th, this Saturday from 5 to 8, and then it will stay open and following week to the 18th.
All right.
I believe Saturday.
Actually, it's going to stay open through the 19th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's through next Sunday.
Through next Sunday.
Yeah.
At the Grenning Gallery on Main Street in Sag Harbor. You can go online at grenninggallery.com, or here's the phone number, 631-725-8469. Please call and make this a part of your weekend, the next two weekends, in fact. Plein Air Peconic 3, the third annual at Grenning Gallery in downtown Sag Harbor, 725-8469. Laura Grenning, thanks so much, as
Thank
always.
You.
Gordon Matheson, you rock, man. It's so good what you do. Rebecca Chapman as well from Peconic Land Trust, and Casey Anderson. Thank you all for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All the best.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Bye-bye. Free is love.